I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, welcome to The Memo. It is Tuesday, and it's Wednesday. Actually, today is Wednesday. Did you know that, Emma?
I did know that.
I was very familiar with the date going into this, and then I lost it. But it is Wednesday, December 30th. And I'm Derek Russell, joined by Emma Kent.
Yep, I'm here for Brad again.
For Brad, or?
I am Brad.
Oh, okay. The whole identity crisis thing, I wasn't sure after the other day.
No, I am Brad.
Okay, good to know.
I am Brad Locke.
Hail State.
Yes, Hail State.
It is the Belk Bowl today.
Belk Bowl Day.
Chris can sit up there and be silent.
Although NC State apparently hasn't won a game against a winning team this season.
Oh, well.
So.
You know how you make North Carolina cookies, right?
How?
You put them in a bowl and beat for 3 hours. I'm so sorry. Well, we're here after the Christmas holidays. How was your Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas?
It was good. It was really good.
Your first Christmas as a married woman?
Yeah.
With the husband and everything?
Yeah, it was fun. We went to Shamingo State Park and stayed in a cabin up there.
Nice.
And it was actually so warm on the day after Christmas that we swam in the creek.
That'll do it.
So.
Yeah, it was a hot Christmas. Maybe not a hot Christmas, but it was a...
Definitely not cold.
Yeah, at all. And then we had the storms, which we'll get to in a little bit. Riley Mann will be joining us to talk about all the horrific storms from both the day before Christmas Eve and then through the weekend with the flooding going into Monday morning. We've got a lot to discuss today. We've had our sugar rush, thanks to Dennis Sid bringing us a good amount of donuts. And then right after that, we'll talk about food, too. So it's just going to be a fun episode all around. So let's get started. Up first is Dennis Sid, who has brought us to the brink of death and back this morning with a bacon donut sandwich. What do you call that contraption over there? Concoction.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah, yes, that would be what I devised from it, too.
It's called 17 hours on a treadmill, I think, is what we're going to have to do.
Well, I had one more than you did, so.
Well, I figured since we're talking about donuts on Bacon Day, there you go.
It's Bacon Day, National Bacon. Is it International Bacon Day or just Bacon Day?
Well, you know, there's some dispute about that. I Googled it. I did the Google,
and
it says there's actually International Bacon Day. It's the first... Or is it the first Saturday before Labor Day or something like that? But then it also says, but there's also Bacon Day on December 30th. So
it was so nice they named it twice.
Exactly.
I see how it is.
You can never go wrong with bacon.
Well, he brought in a little bacon from Shockley's, but also donuts from Scarlett's Donuts, formerly,
still Shipley's, but will soon be exactly
formerly Shipley's Donuts. This is kind of a big thing for Tupelo. Shipley's has been around for as long as I can remember, but obviously beyond that, the 1960s?
Well, Scarlett and David Wilson, who have the franchise here in Tupelo, two stores going on three, her dad opened the first Shipley's in Mississippi in 1958, 59 in Greenville. And all her brothers and sisters are also in the Shipley's business. She got in the Shipley's business open in 1990. So she's been around for 26 years, but they decided, you know, it's time to break away. And I guess it's a clean break, but essentially some of the things that they offer at the stores, the tamales, some of the those little hot rolls that they have, kolaches, some call them. But they've also added their own versions, and they have some extra donuts they've made themselves. Well, they're not officially sanctioned Shipley's.
Right.
And Shipley's is going bigger with a new franchising program. So they want all the Shipley's to have the same menu. And this one have been, you know, part of the program. So, you know, it's a tough decision. They decided, well, you know, let's just, you know, say goodbye. Because their lease was coming. Their franchise agreement was ending December 31st, which is Thursday, tomorrow. And so they had a year to think about it. And they agonized and said, well, you know, let's find a good, suitable replacement for Shipley's. We can keep all our other stuff. And then it came, what are we going to call the place? And David said, well, let's call it Scarlett's after you. And Scarlett didn't like the idea. She tried to think of every other idea, but apparently all the other family members said, Scarlett's is great. Let's call it Scarlett's Donuts. Everybody knows Scarlett, so. And here we have it, Scarlett's Donuts.
I don't think Shapley's would have flown. They probably would have.
Yeah, probably not.
Against some trademark regulations there. Did they know when the announcement of the third store coming up on North Gloucester, were they already, was this a plan to begin with? Because we keep hearing new Shipley's coming, so that was the first thing my mind thought of.
Well, you know, the sign has been there for a while that says Shipley's coming. Right. And I think there was the possibility that they would have stuck with Shipley's, so I think they probably just let's keep it Shipley's for now, and then if we decide to for sure to make it Scarlett's, we'll change the sign. And I think they're in the process of putting up the sign yesterday, Scarlett's to open soon or something like that instead of Shipley.
When is that location set to open?
In the next couple of weeks, they're supposed to get the rest of the equipment, countertops, furniture, you know, first of the year, so. Probably next week, I'm assuming.
So is that their rollout, and then the other two locations will follow suit as
And they're gonna sell now, you know, all the Shipley's donuts. You have to have a mix to make the donuts. So they're just gonna, you know, use up what they have, and once that's used up, they'll transition over to the new mixture that they have.
And I don't know if what we got today was some of the new or not. It definitely seemed a little different to me than
it's in a different box, but hey, just take. It's donuts. A donut.
And then when you put
tastes good to me.
Stack it with bacon, you really can't.
And you drink it with hot, fresh coffee. Hey, we've got a coffee bacon donut thing going on in this room. And
you do. I didn't get any coffee. Yeah. I just had to choke on the stuff.
Here. Yeah.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that's good information to have. I think Shipley's has been a staple, and definitely the Wilsons have been a staple in Tupelo for a long time. So keeping it local is an awesome thing for the community and for them. And
I grew up in Vicksburg, and where we have three Shipley's, and which is run by her sister. And
there
so
you go.
We don't know if they're going to change, if they're going to stay Shipley's or what. There's a Shipley's, a family-owned Shipley's in Hattiesburg. Of course, two in Greenville, and she has a brother that has four or five stores in Nashville. So she said, I don't know what they're doing. This is Scarlett.
Right.
And, you know, I just know I'm doing my thing. And
well, that's what's important for Tupelo, yeah. Then.
We wish her luck.
Yeah.
We'll still be patrons.
Absolutely.
As we were this morning.
Shipley's, like I said, have been here as far back as I can remember. The one right over here by the hospital, and then had a couple more open since then. One, they closed down, but they've opened another one.
Yeah, that one was open from shortly between 2004 and 2005 mm-hmm. in the plaza with
Old Navy.
Pizza Pro at Old Navy. And Scarlett said, we didn't think that one through. It didn't have a drive-thru. This new one on North Gloucester is going to have a drive-thru. And the new one, if you don't know, is that strip center where the Ouch Medical Clinic is, urgent care. It's across
where Hammer's Wings used to be.
Yeah, the new plaza that's going up. It's going to have a drive-through, although it'll be interesting to see how that works out since you can't drive behind the building.
Length. Yeah. That's the way the subway on East Main is, too, which is weird to me to see a subway with a drive-through. I don't like going inside subways, so it works for me to drive through it, but you have to go the full length of the building.
We'll see what happens there.
All right, good deal. Dennis, thanks for joining us and feeding us this morning.
Oh, anytime.
Pass me another.
You want the bacon or the donut?
We mentioned at the top of the show that, of course, today is the Belk Bowl. Emma and myself being state fans, that's a big deal. Ole Miss's bowl game, of course, coming up on Friday. If you want to find out more about those, tune in to our other podcast, Double Coverage, which was posted on Monday of this week. It's usually posted on Thursday, but wanted to get it out ahead of the bowl games. This week's show is already out, but it will return to its Thursday format next week. Also, our other podcast, Prep Rally, which is high school sports, will return on Wednesday, January 6th. Find both of those online at djournal.com or on iTunes. Riley Manning joining us now. Riley, how are you, sir?
Howdy, howdy. How are y'all?
Doing well. A little bit drier than we were this time last week.
Yep.
Obviously, last Wednesday was horrific for parts of the state, specifically around the Holly Springs area where you visited on Christmas Eve morning after the storms had passed.
That's correct.
Obviously, we've all been in areas where a tornado has touched down before. It makes a very different look than what the area looked like previously. Kind of tell us what you saw in the area the next morning.
Especially living in Tupelo and having been here for the tornado a couple of years ago, a lot of it was really familiar as far as, you know, it just seems you're driving through kind of untouched territory and then it's like you round a corner and all of a sudden,
a bomb went off.
Yeah, a bomb went off. Lots of power lines snapped. I didn't really see many things that were like moderately damaged. Everything I saw was either barely affected at all or completely devastated.
Tree snapped and all that at the side.
There were three areas that it hit hardest. Highway, let me see if I can remember. I think it was Highway 4, Highway 78, and the Rising Star community, or Rising Star Road community, which is where photographer Thomas Wells and I spent most of our day.
A lot of what we saw, we're seeing Wednesday night in the newsroom was coming off of Highway 78, so it was nice. So you guys kind of got off of there and went to some of the more affected areas like that.
Right. So Rising Star Road is kind of set off to the side of kind of Holly Springs proper. And how it's set up is it's kind of in a valley between these two huge hills. And so it's kind of remarkable. The residents were telling me that the tornado didn't skip kind of over them, like storms tend to sort of do, but, you know, actually touched down and went in and then came up the other side and kept going. The good thing is it happened around 4 o'clock while lots of people were at work. So most people I talked to weren't actually home when it happened. They were either away on some holiday visits or, you know, were at work and came home to find it. Which is bad too, but still nobody was in the house.
Yeah.
One thing I was surprised at was that lots of people ended up staying at their house that had gotten hit. Like one lady I talked to, it went right through her house and left her bedroom untouched, and they still had heat and stuff miraculously in that room. So she just slept there that night. And then another guy had slept in his truck beside his house because he wanted to make sure that nobody was coming in like rifling through his stuff and things like that. Yeah. So
tragically, loss of life around the state and some in that area as well. Once that subsided though, and the sun came out and the light of day, work began. Obviously there was some rescuing that needed to be done. People were trapped in their homes and vehicles and places like that.
Yeah, a lot of people I ran into were searching through the remains of their homes for kind of prized possessions, photographs, or medication. Like one lady was looking for her insulin and that kind of thing. So that was really early in the morning the day after. Like we got there around 7 and we were kind of heading out around 9 o'clock. And by then, all these other municipal like kind of backup was coming into town. Law enforcement from Lafayette County and the surrounding areas, as well as, you know, kind of electrical cherry picker trucks from Amory and Oxford and Tupelo even, so.
Yeah, and then getting into Christmas Day, obviously we had more storms in the area as flooding began in certain areas like Monroe County and your old stomping grounds. There was a lot of flooding as well.
Definitely. Actually, probably my best friend from high school, Trent Harmon, sent me a Snapchat. And he was just, like, standing at the edge of his driveway, and water was touching his toes. And they have probably, like, 50 yards from their house to the road. And it's just, like, just this brown lake. So that's fun.
Everywhere. Flash flood watches through the weekend. I don't know. I heard last time I looked at the weather that we were in for more rain today. I'm not sure if that's still on the forecast or not, but hopefully we're away enough from precipitation for a little while that these can subside and life can get back to normal for some people. All right, Riley, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Derek.
Move on now to our news briefs. This is the news memo, stories you can find online at djournal.com. The first Battle of the Badges blood drive started on Tuesday night with a friendly hamburger eating contest. Today and Thursday, people can stop by the Bancorp South Arena in downtown Tupelo, donate blood, and support the first responders of their choice. Donors will receive a Battle of the Badges t-shirt and a movie ticket voucher. Tupelo Fire Department won Tuesday's eating contest.
North Mississippi Medical Center will increase its helicopter ambulance service. A partnership will allow the hospital to add air service based at Golden Triangle Airport in Columbus. That will connect with current services in Tupelo and Winona. A partnership between North Mississippi Medical Center and Air Methods will allow for the expansion. It will start April 1st and will help medics in reaching critically ill and injured patients more quickly.
Moving to Jackson, the 2016 legislative session will include calls for both tax cuts and for tax increases. Business groups will be asking legislators to phase out of the franchise tax. Many of those same groups also support increasing revenue to pay for roads and bridges. Daily Journal Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison has been writing a series of articles about the upcoming legislative session, and he has one about the tax requests in today's Daily Journal.
More than three dozen Lee County officials were formally sworn into office yesterday morning. Both elected and appointed county officials took their oath of office in front of Circuit Court Judge Thomas Gardner. They will officially assume their duties when 2016 begins.
And the Tupelo Public Works Department will provide Christmas tree drop-off sites from today through January 31st. Those include the Tupelo Dog Park, Ballard Park, Hancock Park, and Tupelo Compost Site on North Commerce Road. Tupelo Public Works asks that people remove all lights and ornaments before discarding the tree. Many of the recycled trees are used as fish habitat in Sardis Lake Reservoir. Others are ground and used as compost. Of course, you can read more about these stories online at djournal.com, which is hosted through Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses.
Okay, now we've got our health reporter, Michaela Morris, here with us today to talk about a story she wrote about how the holidays can reveal addiction issues for family members and friends. You know, when you gather together, people, often things come up. And so just kind of how to deal with that, how you can be helpful, and the warning signs to look for, and just how to deal with that at the holidays. So, Michaela, tell us what you wrote about.
Well, At the holidays, people are together more, they're together longer, so some of these behaviors that people with addiction problems employ to try to hide what's happening with them can fall apart. And usually what's, oh, they're just not around, is suddenly, oh, they've been very secretive and distant, and they aren't hanging out with the same people, and their eyes are kind of glassy or red, or they've got marks in strange places on their arms, or they've suddenly been falling down a lot, and they can't really explain why they've been falling down a lot. So those things that suddenly the pieces often come together at the holidays. And, of course, we're heading into the holiday that is all about overindulgence. So that can be difficult. So we've got some great resources in Northeast Mississippi where family members can go to talk out what they're seeing. The National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependency, NCAD, has an office in Tupelo, and they have wonderful resources to sit down with people who have addiction problems or family members looking for questions. They can do assessments. They can help craft a plan, laying out all the treatment options really in a 100-mile radius for people who have insurance, for people who have no resources, and in between. So there's lots of good help. Al-Anon meetings are very helpful for family members trying to deal with addiction. And even kind of realizing when people have a problem, that's just the beginning. Addiction is not like a case of strep throat or even a broken limb where you go, you get your prescription for a course of 10 days of antibiotics and then you're done, or you've got a cast and you're done in 6 to 8 weeks. Really, you're looking at least a year of intensive treatment, based on my conversation with David Carpenter at the Oxford Center, which has an outreach office in Tupelo, and then they have a residential program in Etta. So there's lots of good resources available locally to help people get their lives back on track and help families heal around this really difficult, thorny issue.
And so at the holidays, you know, if people notice something, they're like, hey, I think this is a problem. How should they approach that? I mean, how do you get the ball rolling with that kind of confrontation?
Well, it can be challenging. First off, don't try to confront somebody when they're under the influence. It never ends well, according to the professionals I talk to. It's just that is not the time to try to talk them into treatment. You can get a counselor or your pastor involved, and that often is very helpful in trying to lay out an intervention. It also can be helpful to rehearse what you want to say, and you want to keep it very calm. As much as you can, stick with facts. This is what I'm concerned about. This is how it makes me feel. Really leading with love for the person and concern that you don't want to watch them slowly self-destruct. Because people struggling with addiction generally want to quit, but they don't know how. Or they may still be in denial that they have a problem, especially if they're not dealing with illegal drugs. But in a lot of times, people get to the point that they are using to feel normal. They're not using necessarily to get the high anymore, but deep into the addiction process, they're just trying to feel normal and I'll quit tomorrow. And that it's incredibly difficult. The addiction professionals I talk to say that, you know, sometimes you know for a fact, you've got the evidence before you that they have tipped the scales, that they're using, you found the stuff, you know, or you've observed them drunk repeatedly. You know, you found the hidden bottles around the house and you've got the smoking gun. But especially with opiate addictions, you may just suspect. You may not be able to wait until you have the smoking gun to confront people. And because opiate addiction is so dangerous, and it's really becoming endemic around the country and even in this region, you may not, they're at a very high risk for overdose, and they're even at a higher risk once they have detoxed, because if they go back to using what they had been using, their tolerance is gone, and you're very likely to have a disastrous outcome. So you may have, especially with opiate addictions, you may have to confront people before you get a smoking gun. But, I mean, if they're exhibiting a lot of these signs and symptoms, there's something going on that they need addressed.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, thank you, Michaela, for coming on today and talking to us about that. It's important, but not, you know.
It's really tough, and there's so many families who struggle with this, and they feel shame and guilt. And sometimes this happens to people who have good families, so, you know, and who had perfect childhoods, and there's just something that they're vulnerable to addiction. And then other people, there's a huge continuum of why people end up addicted. Mm-hmm. And you really need to take the shame and the guilt out of it and get people help.
Right. Well, it's good that we've got those resources, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Michaela.
You're welcome.
All right. And now we've got Jenna Parsons, our food editor, here with us to talk about some spinach artichoke bites that she wrote about for today's food section. You can find that in today's Daily Journal. Jenna, tell us about these spinach artichoke bites, and then also, like you said, about the just having a bite of something that kind of satisfies your appetite rather than eating a whole big plate of food.
Well, I haven't actually made the bites. It's from a cooking light recipe. But the idea for it came from a cookbook that I got for Christmas, the French Laundry cookbook, which is Thomas Keller's first cookbook. And he talks about how when we eat food, the first bite of something that we have is fabulous, and then the next bite is great, and then the next bite you really don't even pay much attention to. Mm-hmm. He said it's kind of like when you get into a steaming hot bath or jump into a really cold swimming pool, that at first it's just shocking, but then after a few minutes you get used to it and you don't even remember that you were hot or cold. And he said our mouths react the same way. So with that in mind, I started thinking, why do I sit and eat a whole plate of food or 10 or 12 bites of the same taste if I'm really only going to enjoy the first couple of bites of it? So I was looking for recipes that provided good flavors, and this particular recipe was a staff favorite rave recipe from the issue. But just looking at maybe just having a couple of bites of something, which would allow us also to be a little more, have a little more decadence, mm-hmm. if you're only eating a bite or two.
Right. Were there any others that stood out to you in the as you looked for smaller small bite recipes?
Well, there was one for like a mini beef kebab where you just have a couple of pieces of steak and maybe a mushroom or grilled onions on it, but not a kebab that's got five or six big honking pieces of meat on it, but just a couple of bites and then move on to something else. I couldn't see making entire meals of just a couple of bites, or you would you'd have to make six or eight things for right. the dinner table. But I can see in an age when we do need to be eating less and be more mindful that this could come in handy to keep in the back of your mind.
And especially for things like New Year's Eve parties, which will be coming up this week, and when you have gatherings, I'm sure that would come in handy to have some of those smaller bite-sized recipes hand.
Right. But you also need things that are filling.
Right.
Something like the spinach artichoke dip is going to have some protein in it. A beef kebab would have some protein in it, and that keeps you fuller longer.
All right. Well, awesome. Sounds good. And let's move on and talk about your cook of the week this week, Lynette Stanford. Just tell us, you know, a little bit what you talked about with her and what kind of recipes she shared with you.
Well, if you are looking at the Daily Journal or online and you see her picture, she looks like the quintessential grandma, everybody's grandmother. But then to hear her say that when she was 70 years old, she got on a dance floor for the first time. And now every week she goes ballroom dancing, and she wears a big sweeping skirt so that her partner whirls her around the floor. And this is something that she has gotten into. She's 78 now, I think. So for the last 8 years, she's been dancing every Saturday night. Wow. And she likes that. But she also makes cakes. She started out making them for family and friends. Now she makes them for the public, and they're really reasonably priced. This coconut cake that's pictured, it's a three-layer frozen sour cream coconut cake. And I saw her price list when I was at her home. I think maybe the cake is like $20. I mean, she way undercuts the bakeries. In fact, I could see somebody turning her in and trying to put her out of business because she makes such pretty things so reasonably.
Wow. I'll take four.
You'll take four. Well,
I'll take six.
Coconut is my husband Charlie's favorite cake, and I've never made one successfully, but maybe Miss Lynette will be making his next birthday cake.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenna, for joining us today.
Thank you.
We want to remind you about our Entertain Us movie contest. The contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from 1 second to 5 minutes. They can be shot on an iPhone, a camcorder, or any other device. Videos are going to go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. That's ink with a C. And registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January 20th. There is no registration fee, and the ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate, and the winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend, so don't forget that. Remember, email your submissions to entertainus@journalinc.com. Must be via YouTube. Emma, good show.
Yeah, Good show, Derek.
Yeah, good show.
We did such a good job. Show.
We do. Brad is out.
We're the best.
Yeah.
I'm replacing Brad.
That's it. It's been announced.
It's official.
The producer said it. It must be true.
Brad, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Well, when Brad comes back in February, I'm sure he'll be very broken up about it. I wish I could claim that was my joke, but it wasn't. It was Justin Whitmore's, our news editor. Anyway, we will be back again on New Year's Eve for the final memo of 2015.
Doo, doo, doo.
Sad face.
Wish we had that. That wasn't a very good sound. Yeah, I was trying. I need something more like wow, wow, wow. Like a downer. Like
downer note.
So sad. But that means a whole new year of
us.
Fresh podcasting.
Of Emma and Derek and not Brad.
And with the new, now with the Brad. I'm sorry, Brad. We really do like you. We miss you.
We're using that we word a lot.
I'm speaking for Derek.
Let's not do that. check us out online, of course. memo.djournal.com. We are on the Twitter @djournalmemo. You can find us on iTunes as well as Satchel or any other podcast player out there. Also, of course, all the stories we talked about today leading up through Christmas until the day are online at djournal.com or in your past issues of the Daily Journal. For the latest and breaking news, follow us online at djournal now on Twitter. And we'll be back on New Year's Eve with a brand new episode.
And Brad actually is back tomorrow, like it or not.
Bull.
So I'll warn people in advance. How about that?
He got in just under the wire to not come back in February. Well, it's January.
You're a month off, Derek.
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, I could tell that by your intro at the top of the show today.
It might have something to do with all the donuts I was fed at the top of the show. All right, well, we'll see you guys on New Year's Eve.